Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a natural tendency for us to think in things like opposite. Not this, but that. This one is bad, but this one is good. It's most unfortunate that God's law and gospel are often seen as opposite actions of God. But nothing could be further from the truth. The law convicts our sins, and the gospel frees us from our sins through the death of Jesus Christ. Yet the feelings of constraint and relief aren't what forgiveness of sins is all about. The most accurate understanding is that the law is fulfilled by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, one preparing and the other fulfilling. Not just that one is bad and the other is good. This is actually how God assures us of our own salvation, and which fuels the church. In a parallel way, the ministry of John the Baptist and the ministry of Jesus are sometimes seen as opposites. John kind of seems scary, he dresses funny, and even seems to be mean. Jesus is kind, loving, and nice. In fact, our text today shows that John and Jesus are not opposites, but rather preparation and fulfillment, with a fairly seamless transition of one to the other. So, as the gospel fulfills what the law prepared, Jesus can fulfill what John's call began. You see, it's all tied together. Leading up to this Sunday now, we have had a prophetic voice of John the Baptist calling out of the wilderness to make straight the path for our Lord. In repentance of our sins, our hearts and minds are prepared for the gospel. This isn't merely a practice of emotion, okay, but it's creating a thirst. It's a thirst in our hearts as one might feel in the desert. And this thirst is quenched by the baptismal waters that come with the gospel of the coming of Jesus Christ. Our Old Testament reading this morning tells us about Jonah calling the wicked city of Nineveh to repentance. And after Jonah's famous initial start, punctuated by 3 days in the belly of that large, great fish, he did follow God's call to preach this devastating law to the city. We read in Jonah 3:4, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Scary? Definitely. But mean? Not at all. It's not mean. Let's just see how what we think about when we hear the law and the gospel. When we read about God's law, do we think bad, like getting caught red-handed? When you hear the gospel, do we think like, oh, good, I got away with it. I'm not getting caught. No, it's not that way. The fact is, whether we realize it or not, we are always caught red-handed by God. But God, through his spokesman, proclaims the law so that we'll be brought to an inward disgust over our own sins and fully expect to be destroyed. That's what we think. The gospel is that God's hammer, which we expected to be coming down, isn't coming down on us, is it? It's coming down on Jesus Christ on the cross. the full weight of the dead and the damned lay on Christ's shoulders until Jesus died. And we now rise again with Christ from the tomb in absolution. The preparation, Jonah and John, were calls of God's deep concern for you over your sins. When Christ comes unto the scene in our gospel text, we recall the journey that we've been through to arrive here. So what's happened? The angel announced to the shepherd the good tidings of great joy. Christ had become one with us, one of us, been born of a virgin. And now today he calls his first disciples. What unfolds is not God's distancing himself from the ministries of Jonah and John the Baptist in their calls to repentance, but it's a continuation and a completion, a fulfillment of them. Our text reads, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent,' it says, 'and believe in the gospel.'" Here we find another call for repentance, and yet there are noticeable differences. And obviously, it's the Son of God himself doing the calling, and this connects all repentant callings throughout history to God in the flesh. Preceding the call to repentance is a phrase from Christ that we will often hear in the church year to come, and it's a everlasting promise from God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Christ even includes these words, "Thy kingdom come," in the Lord's Prayer taught to his disciples. The kingdom of God is the coming of Christ in the flesh at birth and at the judgment when he comes to judge the living and the dead. What follows Christ's calling to repentance is a gospel promise and the exhortation to believe in the gospel. And here, in Mark, we have that most pleasant invitation to us, believe in the gospel. Our text finally includes another calling from Christ, the calling of Simon and Andrew, James and John. For the first four people who Jesus called into the office of holy ministry, Jesus calls them into the office in which the very task is to continue Jesus' ministry. And it is precisely where the ministry of John the Baptist was always pointing to. John has proclaimed to you that the one who would ascend for you is the only one who has come down from the throne. And when the Son of Man comes from his heavenly throne, he comes for you. For you. He comes to be the victor over sin, death, and the devil. What John the Baptist prepared and Jesus fulfilled is now among us. Jesus' own ministry is among us. We have the pure and unadulterated gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same sweet voice from the manger also called the disciples to proclaim the law and the gospel to sinners, to us. We are sinners in need of the gospel. Christ has called the likes of four fishermen into his well-beloved church. What Christ was able to accomplish in these men he is able to accomplish through the pastors of his church today. Jesus forgives you. He forgives you all your sins and gives you everlasting life. Jonah and John the Baptist called their hearers to repentance, and their hearers received the forgiveness of God. Christ calls us to repent and believe, and he forgives us all of our sins. Christ also calls his pastors to proclaim the law that breaks us, and then to speak the word of holy absolution. I forgive you all your sins. Christ is the one who sees the repentance and the forgiveness to completion. It's completed. Therefore, as your pastor, you can be sure today and every day in hearing the words of God. You are forgiven as if Jesus himself said them. And in fact, Jesus did say them. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.